really what I do is I just make everything, the worst possible things happen to them to sort of force them to realize who they are and what they want and that they're worth going for those things.
That's Jenny Elder Moak, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Jenny Elder Moak worked for several years at an independent publisher in Austin, Texas, before realizing she would rather write the manuscripts than read them. She's a member of the Texas Writers League and was a finalist in the Austin Film Festival Fiction Podcast Competition in 2017 for her podcast script, Target. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, Curse of the Spectre Queen. Jenny, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be here today.
Well, tell us about the plot of Curse of the Spectre Queen.
So Curse of the Spectre Queen is the first book in a new action-adventure series. So think like Indiana Jones, National Treasure, The Mummy, and it follows aspiring archaeologist Samantha Knox as she hunts down an ancient relic before it falls into the hands of a mysterious cult that is hell-bent on using that relic to bring about the end of the world.
Well, that sounds dramatic.
Very low stakes.
Yeah, nothing much going on in this story.
No.
So there's a lot of magic here. You mentioned ancient relics. There are mysteries to be solved. What appeals to you about writing this kind of story?
Well, I've always really loved stories that took that high-level action-adventure concept, but then grounded it in real things like archaeology and ancient history. And so for Curse of the Spectre Queen, all of the historical elements, the Celtic mythology it's based around, the Roaring Twenties that it's set in, the medieval Dublin, which half the story takes place in America and half the story takes place in Dublin, Ireland, all of those historical facts are real and they're as true as I could make them. And so that's really exciting to me to take this big high-level story and try and fit it into that real-world context.
This novel is classified as young adult fiction, but who do you envision as the audience for this book?
So I'm really hoping that readers of all ages will come to this story and really enjoy the story itself. But what I really love about writing about people, young people, these young adults who are sort of on the edge of adulthood, is that they're really on the edge of everything. You know, that's really such a transitional time of people finding out who they are and what they want from the world and what their place is. And that's, I think I come back to that in every story that I write because that's such a pivotal point in people's lives. And really what I do is I just make everything, the worst possible things happen to them to sort of force them to realize who they are and what they want and that they're worth going for those things.
Well, as you mentioned, you hope that this will find a broader audience. And I've heard that from a number of young adult authors, that even though it's classified a certain way, they in fact have a lot of older readers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I hope that readers of all ages come to this story and love it for the story itself, that they don't feel like, oh, I can't, this story is only for young people or teenagers or whatever it may be. I think it's Curse of the Spectre Queen to me is the kind of story that transcends that. And it ends up being a story that everyone can love.
Was there a particular inspiration for this story?
Well, The Mummy is my absolute favorite movie. It is a perfect movie, in my opinion, and I will not be brooking arguments about it. But what I love is that it put a female in the center of a story that we're used to only seeing men as the main characters in. And it let her be smart. It let her be educated. It let her be driven. And it still told this really compelling, engrossing story. And that's what I pursue for all of my books as well, but particularly the Samantha Knox series is I wanted a female character who was smart and driven and had her own skills to bring to the table.
What was the challenge like for you in sort of setting up these puzzles for Sam to solve?
Well, first of all, I have learned through my research that I am not a good puzzle solver. That's a whole different level of intelligence that I can only aspire to. But I did do a lot of research on cryptanalysis and code breaking and the women who pioneered that field and how it can be used to, you know, hide information. And so I tried to take the spirit of that and the elements of that and build out this puzzle that was worthy of Sam Knox.
Tell us a little bit more about the challenge of setting this story in the Roaring Twenties, because not only did you need to get all those physical details correct, you also needed to make sure that Samantha and the other characters were speaking in a way that was period appropriate.
Oh, absolutely. One of the most interesting things that I learned through this process was that the word okay didn't exist in the 1920s. And you don't realize how much you say okay until you can't say okay. So it was figuring out how to maneuver around words that we know, and even just like language and existing technology, things that we take for granted that didn't exist then, that they didn't have access to. You know, commercial air travel didn't exist in the 1920s. It was really in its infancy. And so people got around in entirely different ways. They still had horses and wagons. Only people who were wealthy enough to afford cars had them. They took trains, they took steamerships. So it really informed a lot of the story and how it progresses, just because she did not have access to modern technology the way that we do today.
So that took a lot of research to make sure you got that right, but kind of begs the question, why set it in that time in the first place?
Well, I think the Roaring Twenties was a really, in the same way that I write young adult because it's a transitional period in time, the 1920s was a really transitional time period for America. It was the, you know, Prohibition. So you had the speakeasies and the bootleggers and, you know, that whole vibe of gangsters running things. But you also had flappers in that first wave of women coming out and saying, you know, hey, we deserve our own places in the world. But it was also a really pivotal time for archaeology. So the tomb of King Tutankhamun was discovered in 1923. And that really revolutionized the way that people thought about archaeology. It really invigorated people's interest in it. It spawned all kinds of crazes for these ancient cultures. So taking a young woman with a lot of ambition and drive and then setting her in that time period where so much was opening up to her was really appealing to me.
The novel is Curse of the Spectre Queen. It's by Jenny Elder Moak. And Jenny, I enjoy talking with authors about process, and I'm curious. Some authors tell me they write with a map and others with a compass. Some plan out every detail, others just know the general direction they're going and figure it out as they go along. How would you describe your process?
It depends on the book. Sometimes I'm really detailed. Sometimes I just need to sit down and follow the story wherever it's trying to lead me. But Curse of the Spectre Queen, I think because there's so much research involved and because there's such a plot there. I mean, it's, you know, when you think about stories like National Treasure or Indiana Jones, there's constantly something happening. Somebody new's coming into the picture. The stakes are getting twisted. There's tension and, you know, they think they got it and then somebody stole it. And so there's a lot of that to Curse of the Spectre Queen that I just had to plan out to even know how to write it. So I think this series, I took a much more structured approach just because that's the kind of story that it is. I couldn't tell it without knowing all of those pieces and how they interacted with each other.
You mentioned that this is the first book in a series. So what can you tell us about future adventures with Samantha Knox?
Absolutely. So the Curse of the Spectre Queen is the first book. And then the second book comes out next year. And I can't reveal the title yet, but I can promise it's just as epic as Curse of the Spectre Queen. But I'm also really excited to share with you and your listeners today that it's Curse of the Spectre Queen has already been optioned for television. So I can't share any details yet, but if you heard the pitch and you thought, man, that would be really perfect as to watch on the screen, stay tuned. It's coming soon.
Well, Jenny, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters you created for this novel, who would it be and why?
I love that question. So for me, in Curse of the Spectre Queen, so Samantha Knox is the main character, but she's helped along the way by her best friend and her childhood crush. And her best friend, Joanna Steeling, is absolutely who I would spend a day with. She is the daughter of a textile magnate and a wealthy socialite. She loves to steal things, and she is always up for a good time. I think she was tailor-made for Prohibition. I know that if I went out with her, that we would have an absolutely insane time.
Yeah, that's why I enjoy asking that question, because it's often not the main character. There's some other character that the author created that they found intriguing, would like to learn more about.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of writers, the main character is some reflection of themselves. So for me, my main characters are always looking for their place in the world, because that's always what I'm searching for as a person. And the side characters really get to be them. They get to be a fully realized version of themselves, because it's not always as much about their journey. And so I think that's why side characters appeal to me as an author too.
The novel is Curse of the Spectre Queen. It's by Jenny Elder Moak. Jenny, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. You can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.